Well, good morning, church. It's an honor to be in front of you guys again today. And before I do anything, I just want to start off by giving thanks. We've been through transition over the past couple months, and I just want to give thanks to our pastoral staff. Thank you very much. For doing it, for doing all things. Thank you guys so much for your heart and for your faithfulness to the Lord. We really appreciate it. And thank you so much to all the elders and the trustees as well. Thank you so much for your oversight. We really appreciate it. All right. Well, we are continuing our sermon series in Philippians. And today we will be in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. If you do not have your Bible with you, that's fine. I will read out the verses, but if not, you can read it on the screen as well. But let's start off by asking two questions, okay? The first question I want to ask you guys, and if you want to write these down, you can, or you can just type it in your phone, is who or what am I being influenced by? Okay? So who or what am I being influenced by? The second question is, who am I influencing? Okay. Who am I influencing? And my hope is at the end of this message, I want you guys to go back and look at these questions and answer them honestly about yourself. So Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison in Rome, and he was writing to the Philippians who were living in Philippi to express his thanks and also to express his love. But most importantly, express his encouragement to the church there in Philippi and to encourage their faith. And if you're not familiar with the Philippians or who they were, a body of believers, a Christian community living in the ancient colony of Philippi, which is actually currently in modern day Greece. Okay, so give you guys some perspective there. So just as Paul wrote to the Philippians way back then to encourage them, my hope here today is by the time you leave, we will all be encouraged to follow those who follow Christ. So let's dive in. Philippians 3 verses 17 through 21 say, "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control." Amen. Okay, so it's important to know that Paul made it clear earlier in this letter that he adopted the same attitude and the same mindset that Christ adopted. And we see this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. It starts off by saying, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth." So in chapter 3, Paul is basically counting anything in this life that stands in the way of radical obedience to Christ. He's counting all that as worthless. And in verse 17, he talks about, "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example." So he's telling his Philippian brothers and sisters to follow his example and is willing to say, follow me. Follow my life. My life looks like what Christ did, and I'm following the attitude and the mindset that Christ adopted. Paul, and I don't think Paul, whenever he was telling this to the Philippians, I don't think he's coming from a place of arrogance. You know, he's not saying that, hey, I'm all that. You have to follow me because I'm the best. No, definitely not. Paul's not coming from that place. I think he's coming from a place of humility, and he's saying, listen, my life is a life that you can follow because of what I've done in the past. See, the amazing thing about Paul is that he was not worried about his life here on earth because he understood the ultimate goal, and that was eternity with Jesus. So I ask you again, church, who are you getting influence from? But better yet, who are you influencing? So many years ago, I was at church and I was listening to a sermon, and the pastor was telling a story about a young man named Tom. And Tom was being called into the mission field. And to be more specifically, he wanted to do construction type work at the mission field. Tom was very gifted with his hands. He, was around construction his entire life, so it came natural to him. So he was telling all his friends and family that, hey, I want to go to the mission field. I'm being called. The Lord's calling me to go to this country. But the only little issue was that the country he was being called to, Christianity was illegal, and they openly kill Christians there. Yikes, right? So, of course, his parents and his friends were like, hey, hold up. You need to take a step back here and really think this through, buddy. You know what? But there was no stopping Tom. He was like, nope, I'm going to do it. I have a calling. You know, I'm going to go out and I want to be helpful. So Tom went out. After 4 weeks, Tom returned, and all his friends were super excited to hear about what happened in that foreign country. And one of his friends pulled him aside and said, hey, man, how in the world did you like survive over there? You know, don't they kill Christians, you know, where they were? And Tom, you know, kind of looked at him a little confused, and he was like, well, what do you mean? And his friend asked him again. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, whenever you told the locals there, you know, that you were a Christian, you know, how did you survive that? And then Tom replied to his friend. He was like, oh, man, I was totally safe. No one even knew I was a Christian. You see, Tom did not understand the assignment there. After 4 weeks in the mission field, Tom didn't tell a soul about Jesus. Yes, he did go out and do some great things, but the main goal is to share Jesus, guys. So who are you influencing, church? Who have you shared Jesus with in the past week, past 4 weeks, or heck, even the past 6 months? Just ask yourself that. So in this passage, Paul is showing us two types of people, those who walk according to Christ and those who walk as enemies of Christ. He says in verse 18 and 19, for I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. So Paul is talking about the Christian way of life and the opposite of the Christian way of life. And church, we must keep our eyes on heaven and not on earthly things. So Paul is stating here that there are true enemies of the cross of Christ, and those people are headed for destruction. We must not lose sight of our goal, church, and that is eternity with Jesus. I'll tell you this, the pleasures of this world do not compare to the treasures that are stored up for us in heaven. A couple weeks ago, Karen and I were at a follow-up appointment for our new baby girl, Emerson. She's 5.5 weeks now, so she's a little bitty thing. But we were there in the doctor's office, and there was a father and a 2-year-old son with him as well. And, you know, naturally, we got to talking, and we just wanted to learn a little bit more about them. And he was telling us that his wife is actually a week away. By this time, I think she already gave birth, but she was a week away from giving birth to a baby girl. And I should have said, a girl, huh? I'm like, well, buddy, get ready to be a girl dad, because trust me, I live with three of them. And let me tell you, get a second job, because girls are expensive. And, you know, of course I didn't tell him that. I don't want to scare him off. Girls are expensive though, but you know, I'm not going to scare him off, but you know, girls are a blessing, and I do adore mine so much. But this couple was worried because, her blood pressure was getting pretty high. And in her previous, pregnancy, she had some complications because of her blood pressure, that spiked at the end of pregnancy. So naturally they had some anxiety, and they were a little bit worried, right? And I can see that. I kind of sense that. And right then and there, I just asked them, I'm like, hey, can I just pray with you? I just want to proclaim Jesus in this situation. And he said yes. So I laid hands on him and we just prayed right there in the lobby. And after we prayed, I learned that they were actually missionaries. They both live in Nigeria. She is a nurse and he works in IT. And the Lord called them to Nigeria to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And they have day jobs there to fund their ministry. So church, you may not be called to the mission field overseas or even here domestically, but I'll tell you this, we are all called to spread the good news of Jesus. In Matthew 28 verses 16 through 20, it says, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. Amen to that. So the common phrase you guys are going to hear me say today is, who are you influencing? Who are you sharing Jesus with? We all have an opportunity to spread the good news. The real question is, why don't we do it? Well, why don't some of us do it? In verse 20, Paul talks about our citizenship in heaven when he says, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for his return as our Savior. So church, once we understand that our reality lives in heaven and not here on earth, that is what makes us any earthly good. Okay? As Christ followers, we are called to influence as many people as we can to Christ. And that's our job here on earth, guys. Paul is clearly outlining what the end result is for those who are enemies of Christ. And that is destruction. Their minds are set on riches and glory that this earth has to offer. And church, I think some of us have lost sight of the main prize. And that's Jesus and eternity with him. Our minds are often set on earthly things. And to be honest, that's been our destruction and our downfall as a Christian society. When our minds are set on heavenly things, that is when we are of the most earthly good. And listen, guys, I am not perfect by any means. Go talk to Karen. She'll tell you, I promise. I am not perfect. And none of us in this room are perfect. But listen, that is not an excuse to use not to share the gospel. You have power in your testimony. So use it to glorify the Lord. Amen. So earlier I asked you, what is holding you back from sharing Jesus? And, you know, for some of you guys, it might be a confidence issue. Or it might be a situation where you have a kind of a fear of being rejected. You know, those are all natural things. Sorry about that. So those are all natural things. But can I be honest for a second? There's times in life, guys, where we have to do hard things. Even if you feel like you're not supposed to do it, or even if you feel like, hey, you have your own anxieties or your own stress, you have to understand that once you take yourself out of the equation and you realize that it's the Lord doing all the work and you are just the instrument, then you will realize that every single person walking this earth deserves to hear about Jesus because they are loved and they are seen by God. But listen, I'll be honest. There are times where I think, and you know, I'm throwing myself out there, but hey, I'm human. There are times where I think, listen, that person, they don't deserve God's love. Not after what they did to me. I'm not going to share my Jesus with them. Absolutely not. Not after what I saw them do to so-and-so. And, you know, have you guys heard the expression, hey, there's a special place in hell for whoever, right? And I'm sure I'm not alone in that thinking. And hopefully some of you guys aren't thinking of that person's name right now. But church, listen, that cannot be further from the truth. Let's not forget who wrote the book of Philippians. It was Paul. Okay. And before Paul was Paul, his name was Saul, and he was a Pharisee for crying out loud. And if you guys don't know anything about Pharisees, Pharisees hated Jesus and they hated Christians and they were like totally cool with murdering Christians. Okay. That's what Pharisees did. And that's what Paul was. But God, right? But one day, Paul was radically saved by God's grace and became arguably the greatest Christian or the most well-known Christian in the world. So church, no one is too far gone. I'll say that again. No one is too far gone for God. So keep praying for your son or your daughter or your grandchildren. Keep praying that they find the Lord. Keep praying for your teenager who you think is not listening and rebelling. Keep praying for your marriage. You know, the word tells you to do so in Luke 11, verses 9 through 10. And it says, and so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks on the door will be opened. You see, church, God's love is for everyone, and the power of Jesus changes hearts and brings that brokenness to healing. And just as we saw the transformation from Saul to Paul, your situation can be transformed as well. Okay. I'm going to tell a story. It's hilarious. It's about Riley, so it's got to be funny, right? Okay. So 2 weeks ago, during all the storms, we had three pretty cool mushrooms grow in our front lawn. They were probably about this tall. So they got some height on them, and about a day or so later, they kind of like bloomed open. They were actually a really cool view. And my daughter Riley she thought they were really fun and really cool. She would go up to the front window multiple times per day and literally scream, "My mushrooms are still there!" You know, she was so excited about her mushrooms. Well, a day or so later, it was time to cut the grass, and I don't know what got into me. I don't know what I was thinking, but I chopped up those mushrooms into a million little mushroom pieces. But y'all, if I would have known the emotional damage that it would have caused my four-year-old, by the way, she turns four tomorrow. So if you guys see her today, tell her happy birthday. She will reply, "It's not my birthday yet. It's tomorrow," but just tell her happy birthday anyways. If I would have known the emotional damage it would have caused her, I would have never committed such a horrible crime, you know? So when I came inside after cutting the mushrooms, Riley was sobbing, like legit sobbing uncontrollably. And she was saying over and over, and I promised you this is exactly how she was doing it. Ask Karen. She was saying, "My mushrooms, Daddy, my mushrooms." You know, I was trying to soothe her and hold back my laughter as well at the same time. But I was trying to tell her, I'm like, "Listen, honey, I had no idea that you loved those mushrooms that much." You know, but there was no soothing her in that moment. She just continued to cry. So I had the great idea of like, you know what, let me take her outside and kind of explain to her what happened and show her, you know, the battlefield, if you will, right? And so there was a bunch of little mushroom pieces all over the floor, and that was a bad idea. I walked outside. One, where the mushrooms once stood tall, and she was just sobbing, y'all. She was a mess. And she kept on going like this, and I promised you, I'm not, hand gestures and all, this is exactly what she did. She stood in front of where the mushrooms were, and she said, my mushrooms. And then she went like this, why? And then if her stabbing the knife in my heart wasn't hard enough, she twisted it and she said this to me. I promise you said this. She said, you did it on purpose. Oh, poor little thing. And of course I apologized to her. And I told her that next time I won't chop up her mushrooms. And after a while, she finally regained her composure and she gave me a big hug and she gave me a kiss. And I held her a little tighter then, and I told her that I loved her. Y'all, I am so thankful that my daughter does not hold grudges towards me, even if I killed her beloved mushrooms. And that just got me thinking of how merciful our God is, you know? Our God does not hold grudges towards us. He loves us. He cares for us. And even if you do really dumb things like chop down mushrooms for a 4-year-old, or if you walk away from the Lord, he will always, always welcome you back with open arms and give you a hug. And it's that type of hug that you can only feel deep down in your soul. So Paul is saying to live a life like his and follow his example. But y'all, living a Christian life worthy of someone else wanting to copy, it's hard. It's hard, guys. You know, it's a lot of turning the other cheek, humbling yourself, putting others first, maybe staying quiet, even if you have a different opinion, and other times speaking out for righteousness in really tough situations. But we are all called to do hard things at times. So back to Riley. You know, those of you who know her, you know, you probably know that she's somewhat strong-willed. And she can have a little bit of an attitude every once in a while. What 4-year-old doesn't? But it's even more so right now that we added baby number 2 to the mix. Y'all, it's tough. But her attitude really shines, and it's on full display when we ask her to do something she doesn't want to do. And she says, exactly like this. She says, Daddy, I said I don't want to do that. And then to add the cherry on top, she finishes with a big, ugh. And parents with littles, can y'all guys relate? Yeah, a little bit? Okay. And what about when your kids were 4? Do y'all guys remember? A little bit of sass? Yeah, I have a little bit of sass in my house, y'all. So pray for Karen and I. We have our work cut out for us. But hey, guys, isn't that the truth, though, for most of us? We don't want to do all the hard things that life requires us to do. You know? You know, Karen and I usually respond to Riley and we say, listen, honey, I totally hear you. I understand. But hey, there's going to be times in life where you have to do things that you don't want to do or things that you might not enjoy. But nonetheless, they must get done. Paul is telling us to pattern our lives like his and learn from those who follow our example. So church, are you being influenced by the world or are you the influencer? So there's been this song, it's not necessarily a new song, but you know, maybe a couple months old, that's been, you know, I've had it on repeat for a while now. It's by Brandon Lake. This song is called That's Who I Praise. And the lyrics of this song start off like this. And I think we have the lyrics that will pop on the screen just in case you guys want to sing it with me. So if you know the song, please feel free to sing it with me. It starts off by saying, I want to dance like David. I want a faith like Paul. I want to sing like Silas tearing down the prison walls. I want to face that fire It won't burn me though. God's got my back, Shadrach, Meshach. Yeah, so you guys know. Okay. So this song is all about learning by those who led by example and wanting your life to reflect theirs, but ultimately giving all the praise to Jesus. So that's exactly what Paul is talking about here when he said, pattern our lives like his and learn from those who follow our example. The song goes on and it says this. It says, I want a gift like Mary. I want to break my vase. I want to sleep like Daniel, even in a lion's cave. I'm going to get that promise, just like Jericho. Yeah, I know what'll make it fall. Yo, I'm not a good singer, but I'm a worshiper, so sorry. Okay, and the song's fitting. The song, I promise I'm not trying to torture y'all. I'm just trying to get through this. Okay, and then the song finishes by saying, this is my favorite part. It says, I want to love like Jesus, that kind of grace. I want to live like I've got no more precious time to waste. I'm going to give him glory with all my thanks because there's no greater, stronger, higher name. And that's who I praise. Amen. Amen. So thank the Lord for his word and for courageous individuals who walked before us to show us what a life, to show us a life worth copying. So in closing today, y'all, there are moments in life where something happens to you, and that moment kind of sticks with you forever, you know, and it could be a good memory or sometimes maybe not so good, but these life events are kind of imprinted in your brain and you have them kind of stored in your heart, and you kind of flash back to those moments throughout your life. Do you guys, anyone else have anything like that? No, I know I do. I have one of those moments, and it happened when I was a senior in high school. And for those of you who do not know my testimony, we do not have enough time to go through it all today. But here are the Cliff Notes version of it. So my parents, they divorced when I was a very young child. And that impacted my life more than I thought it ever would. So I grew up in a fatherless home, and I longed for the acceptance and love by a father figure. You know, my dad wasn't a horrible dad. I did see him every once in a while, but nonetheless, he was not present in my life on a day-to-day basis. My mother was, and she still is, a very loving mother. And she did everything she could for my siblings and I. But nonetheless, I was still sort of a knucklehead kid. I did fear my mom though, so I was never really too crazy. But I did give her, you know, more than a dozen headaches growing up. But for the most part, I stayed out of major trouble, you know, aka jail. But you know, I did get into some trouble. But I was not living for Christ in high school. Okay. And it wasn't until after high school that I accepted the Lord as my Lord and Savior. So parents to teenagers or young adults, keep praying for your son or your daughter. There is hope, and I am living proof of that. Keep praying. And Mary, you can come up if you want. In middle school, I met my friend Joe, okay? And we attended the same high school as well. So we had a lot of time together. Joe was a Christian, and it was evident that he was a Christian by the way he lived his life. He would constantly share Jesus with anyone he could. And he literally is the definition of shining Jesus' light. Well, one day I was walking to my car and Joe stopped me. And we were seniors in high school at this time. And Joe stopped me on my way in the parking lot and he said, hey, Ray. And he handed me something that I will never forget. And this is the moment I can always go back to. He handed me a Bible and he told me, hey, Ray, the Lord put you on my heart. And he told me to give you this Bible. Church, that was the very first Bible that I have ever been given. It was the first Bible that I ever even looked at or even owned. I didn't know it then, but Joe planted a seed in my heart that day. And at that time, I didn't fully understand the impact that that kindness would make on my life. A seed was planted and it would start to grow. And a year later, I met Jesus. You see, guys, my friend Joe lived a life worthy of copying. Paul said, learn from those who follow our example. Joe showed love and grace and mercy. He was courageous, and he just wanted to share Jesus with everyone he could. My dear friend Joe lost his battle with COVID during the height of it all a few years back. And he's resting peacefully in heaven right now with Jesus. And let me tell you, it was an honor to have known that guy. And I'm so thankful for him. Because he planted that seed that led me to Jesus. So church, you never know what your simple act of kindness can do to someone's life. You may not see the full transformation right away, but let me tell you, those seeds eventually bloom. So church, what can we do moving forward to live a life worthy of someone copying? And it's simple. Follow Jesus. It always points back to Jesus. Be the person at your job that shines Jesus' light. Be kind to others. When you follow Jesus, your life will reflect love and it will reflect joy. And the great news is that there is no better time to start than now. When you go home today and you start to process this message, I want you guys to ask yourself a very honest question. Am I living a life that is influenced by Jesus? Or am I living a life that is influenced by the world? And if the answer is not Jesus, just know that God does not hold grudges. He loves you. He cares for you. Repent and ask God for forgiveness. And start living a life others want to follow. Let's pray. Jesus, forgive us for living a life, Lord, that does not bring you honor. Remind us to live a life worthy of others imitating, Lord. And Holy Spirit, help us when we are getting off track. And show us how to and when to share you with others. We love you, Jesus, and we do all things in your name. Amen.